Good morning, it's July 20th, 2025 in the year of our Lord, and the title for my message is The Fruit of the Spirit. And my first reading comes from Psalm 19, verses 7 through 14. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned, and keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And our New Testament reading comes from Paul's letter to the Roman Church, chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind is governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. The fruit of the Spirit. Now, this is my third sermon on discipleship, and it's a relatively brief sermon series during these summer weeks. And here's a recap of the previous 2 weeks. The circumcision of the heart. And what that was about was outward appearances versus inward reality. Followed by the almost Christian. So many people are almost there in faith, but someone or something is restraining them from making that final decision and commitment to Christ. So they are the almost Christian. Today, the first fruits of the Spirit, centered in Christ, and what that looks like and doesn't look like in our daily living. You know, right off the bat in verses 1 and 2 in Paul's letter to the Romans, Paul states emphatically the following: Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. There are two words that stand out from those two verses. No condemnation for the Christian. So let's unpack this idea. For anyone who believes by faith in the gospel message of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross,
They are justified in God's sight, and that means their personal sins are forgiven and they are cleansed. They are removed. They are as white as clean, wind-driven snow. Another word for our sins is our iniquities. Gross wickedness that we have harbored in our hearts and in our mind and certainly in our actions have been washed clean and we've been forgiven. Not only have they been washed clean and we have been forgiven, but they have been blotted out. They have been canceled. They have been expunged. They have been wiped out. Now that's very important because it brings a sense of relief, a sense of peace, and a sense of wholeness that so many people are striving to obtain, and yet it is elusive. It is outside of their grasp. Just think of the people in American society, in Western society, who go to psychologists or psychiatrists, and they are going there for therapy, and for some they are receiving medication to deal with their depression and their emotions. And I don't see this, and I don't say this, I should say, in a negative way, a belittling or downplaying the needs for professional clinical help. I'm just pointing out a fact that there are so many Americans who look to medication and therapy for peace when God Almighty is more than willing to graciously give peace and joy and contentment and this realization that their sins have been washed away. And that brings true joy and peace. Having said that, there is a profound struggle in the Christian life. And I say that because Paul, in writing to the Romans in the previous chapter, chapter 7, and if you were to read it in its totality from verses 14 through 25, verse 15 nails it. Paul says the following, "For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do." And that's the dilemma we find ourselves in. That's the profound struggle that we have as Christians. When Paul says, quote, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus," he is not saying that we wouldn't stumble, that we wouldn't fail, or that we wouldn't struggle in our faith and our desire to live for God and to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. He never wrote that. He never said that. What he is saying is that there is no condemnation, no punishment, no coming into judgment for the believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, who lives by faith and is guided and directed by the Holy Spirit. We may struggle, but that does not mean that we are condemned because we are struggling. And I believe that is a good thing. How many times have we in our personal life, or maybe we know family members or friends, as Christians, they have fretted and worried about their future into eternity for past misdeeds and sins? You know, maybe one of the most famous parables by Jesus is the prodigal son. And if you're not familiar with the prodigal son from Luke's gospel, here's a high level. The prodigal son was the oldest child, or excuse me, not the oldest. He was one of the sons of a father. And he decided that he wanted to receive his inheritance early. And his father goes against custom and tradition and gives him his inheritance. And his youngest son moves out and goes on his own into the far country. And there we read in this parable that this young son gave himself to riotous living, spending all of his inheritance, and at the end of the day, after all the partying, and after all of the nonsense that goes with it, he finds himself literally in a pig pen. He has hit rock bottom for a Jew. This son went from having it all at the very top to being at the bottom. Because he left his family, he squandered his inheritance, and now he is living in the slop and mire and stench and dirt of the pigs. There is a Christian writer and author and preacher who has long been gone named Dr. J. Vernon McGee, and he's on the local Christian radio in the greater Western New York area. He said this. He said, "What is the difference between a pig and a man in a pig pen? The pig just keeps on eating the husks. After a while, the man says to himself, 'I will get up and I will go to my father.'" You and I, and those listening, we are the sons and daughters who have said in this church and in many other churches across the land, "I will go to my father." The fruit of the Spirit is manifested in many ways in our lives. For some, it was a turning away from alcohol and drugs and any stimulants that might give you a self-care hit or a dopamine hit. For some, it was no more gambling of any kind and wasting precious time and resources, either for yourself or your spouse or your children or maybe even for your church. For others, it meant giving up and walking away from relationships and friendships that were not God-honoring in any sense of the word. And still, for others, it was a putting aside of a swearing, foul, filthy mouth, using vulgarity, employing dirty jokes, and having a lust-filled mental life. For others, it was becoming generous and gracious, no longer being bound by a stinginess mentality and mindset, and putting aside that sharp tongue that was often filled with gossip and resentment and vile hatred. Maybe the best way to state it is by saying that we do not walk after the flesh in our life. You know, when you take the time to reflect and think about it, and maybe even pray, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit gives believers in Jesus Christ the freedom to escape from the punishment and the servitude of the law, the Mosaic law that no human being could completely fulfill or keep. And because of that, it became known as a law leading to death. Folks, if you don't know this and you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, we do not have to sin anymore. We do not have to give in to our emotions. We do not have to let situations or words or events or memories trigger us that can drag us down. We do not have to live in the past. We have been set free. Furthermore, we do not have to be defeated any longer by the same old habits and ways of thinking and doing the same thing again and again and again. In all reality, we can choose to live a different lifestyle for Christ. And as a result of that choice, we can then produce the first fruits of God in our life. You see, when you're walking by the Spirit and you're walking in the Spirit, it's then much easier not to fulfill the lusts of the flesh, both in our hearts and in our lives. You know, a genuine list of the fruits of the Spirit are virtues that many of us have learned, that we have heard preached and taught, and that we have repeated as long as we have been Christians. Some fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, fidelity. Some would go so far as to say meekness or self-control. And really, whatever else that is praiseworthy and lovely. You know, John Wesley, in a sermon about the first fruits of the Spirit, gave a lengthy, well-thought-out message. And he said the following. If you're walking in the Spirit and you're living by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not have any condemnation for past sins. You have been forgiven. Nor do you have condemnation for present sins because you're walking in the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. There's no condemnation for remaining inward sins. And what he is talking about is fallen, corrupt human nature and its fallibility, its weakness. Nor is there condemnation for shortcomings in not living a life that is pleasing in its entirety or perfection to God. No condemnation for sins of infirmity, and that means of weakness in mind, things that are not intentional. You know, I do not have the time to go into greater detail regarding what John Wesley said on this particular topic. But let me say it this way. When God looks at you and I, he is not seeing just myself or you. He is seeing his son, Jesus Christ. And he is seeing that he is transferring to you and to myself all that is said and done with Christ his son and what God and what Christ has done on our behalf. So when it comes to eternity and our salvation, and really our loved ones who are of faith, we are either outside of Christ or we are in Christ. If we are outside, we are condemned already because we have rejected and dismissed and ignored and put off the gracious message of salvation through Jesus. However, if we are on the inside, we are not condemned. And the Holy Spirit lives in us to produce fruit born of the Spirit. A new lifestyle, a new mindset, a new mentality, a new way of living. So my question to everyone who is listening to this message is very simply this. Are you on the outside or are you on the inside? Are you saved in Christ or lost in your sins? Are you filled with peace and joy? And is your life being fruitful for the kingdom of God? Or are you miserable and lonely and feel isolated? Let me close by using an illustration that many are familiar with from the digital or the technological world. Anyone who has bought or worked with a computer knows there is a never-ending war between computer viruses and antivirus programs such as McAfee or Norton, and that you have to renew your subscription on an annual basis. If you buy and eat yogurt, you know full well that there are benefits of good bacteria versus bad bacteria. The fruit of the Spirit preaches freedom and liberty in Christ with no condemnation for the true believer. The fruit of the Spirit practices random and also intentional acts of kindness. The fruit of the Spirit offers words of comfort and peace and truth in Christ. Are you being fruitful for Christ? Amen.